Now from now on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Muslims. That what should you do? These people, they know the truth, they don't accept. What should you do? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who have believed, in tuti'u, if you all obey. Tuti'u from ita'a, obedience. If you obey, fariqan, a group, min alladhina utul kitab, of those people who were given the scripture, the Jews and the Christians. If you obey, a group of the Jews and the Christians. Which group is this? The group of their scholars, of their ulama. If you listen to them, if you follow them, and not just their religious leaders, but also their tribal leaders, if you listen to them, if you obey them, what are they going to do? يَرُدُّوكُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ They're going to turn you back after your iman as kafirin, as disbelievers. They're not going to let you remain as Muslim. If you keep listening to them, eventually you're going to lose your faith. يَرُدُّوكُمْ is from the root letters ra, dal, dal, from the word rad. And rad is to return something, to put something back. So you were upon kufr. Then you became believers. If you listen to these people, what's going to happen? They're going to turn you back to kufr. They're going to return you to your practices of jahiliyyah. How? Sometimes by using false propaganda, and sometimes by creating doubts. Sometimes by coming up with objections. And if you fall prey to them, if you fall prey to their propaganda, to the doubts that they're trying to create, to the false propaganda that they're spreading, then what's going to happen? You're going to end up as disbelievers. You're going to end up back to the practices of jahiliyyah. This ayah, in particular, was revealed when some of the Jewish leaders, they came to the Muslims. Which Muslims? As you know, in Medina, the Ansar and the Muhajirun both resided. Correct? And the Ansar basically had two tribes. Which ones? The Aus and the Khazraj. And remember, the Aus and the Khazraj, before Islam, they had a lot of animosity between them. It is said that Aus and Khazraj were actually two brothers. And they had a fight over a piece of land or something like that. And that fight led to a 200 years animosity between two tribes. It began with two brothers, and then it passed on to their generations. And then there were many, many wars that happened between the two tribes, between the tribes of Aus and Khazraj. So there was great enmity between Aus and Khazraj. And the Bani Israel, the Yahud who used to live in Medina, they were the ones who used to make a lot of weaponry. And the Aus and Khazraj, they would buy all of their battle supplies from who? From the Jews, from the Bani Israel. And this way, the Bani Israel made a lot of money as well. The Aus and Khazraj would go fight. They would come back to the Bani Israel, give them all their money, buy arms from them, and go fight their own brothers. So the Bani Israel made a lot of money with the fighting of the Aus and Khazraj. But when the Prophet ﷺ came, what happened? All of these people, they became brothers. When they became Muslims, in Islam you have ukhuwa, you have brotherhood, correct? So with that brotherhood, they left, they forgot all of their animosity. And this was something that was very unbearable for the Bani Israel. So it is said that some of their leaders, they came up to the Muslims. They came up to the Aus and Khazraj. And one of them began reciting some verses of poetry. That poetry was about the fight or the animosity, the war that was between Aus and Khazraj before. And this reminded the Aus and Khazraj about the animosity that they used to have, which led them to an argument. Aus and Khazraj fell into an argument. And that argument took them to be ready to fight one another in a battle. So imagine, everything had calmed down. They had become brothers. And now, these leaders, the Jewish leaders, they came, they said verses of poetry, aroused those feelings of animosity, and what happened? Those brothers again, they wished to fight. The Prophet ﷺ was informed about this, and he came and he reformed between the people, and the people settled down then. So over here, the Muslims are being told that if you listen to these people, especially their leaders, what's going to happen? You're going to go back to your ways of kufr. Because fighting another Muslim, killing another Muslim, this is not something that a believer does. This is not something that is acceptable of a believer. So yes, there may be a lot of animosity between you, but you cannot go to the battlefield trying to kill one another. If you listen to these people, you're going to return to your ways of jahiliyyah. You're going to end up committing kufr. Even today we see that when it comes to the religion of Islam, there are so many people who make fun of the deen, who mock at the deen. And what do Muslims do? They fall prey, and they end up losing their faith or reducing their iman. Similarly, we see that the sha'air of Allah, the symbols of Allah, for instance, the beard, or the hijab, or the masjid, or the salah, or fasting, the hajj, all of these things are made fun of. They're discouraged in the society. So over here Allah is warning us that if you listen to these people, if you listen to people who are not Muslim, what's going to happen? They are going to make you leave your Islam. They're going to make you leave your Islam. This is a warning that was being given to the Muslims at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, but this is a warning even for us today. It is a warning for us today as well. And look at the people who are stopping the Muslims. Who are they? Ahlul Kitab, people of the book. There are people who have knowledge of the book. And sometimes we see our own Muslims who have knowledge of the book. Some leaders, what do they do? What do? They stop others from the way of Allah. They tell them to do such things which are out of the fold of Islam. For instance, don't do Hajj. It's not important. It's okay. No big deal. Instead of going for Hajj, give charity. Don't fast. Don't offer a sacrifice. But rather, give charity. So, when a person does that, what is he doing? He's stopping people from the way of Allah, and he's following the way of the Ahlul Kitab. The Prophet ﷺ warned us, and I mentioned this hadith to you earlier as well, that you will follow the ways of those nations who were before you, span by span and cubit by cubit. So much so that even if they entered a hole of a lizard, you would follow them in that. You would follow them in that. So yes, the Ahlul Kitab, they do try to dissuade people from the way of Allah. They do try that the Muslims should lose their iman. But unfortunately, it is also some Muslims. It is also some Muslims who claim to be knowledgeable. But what are they doing? They're taking the people away from Islam. So what should be done? When it comes to the deen, who should we follow? Allah and His Messenger. And if anybody says anything contrary to the deen of Allah, we must not listen to them. وَكَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ? And how can you disbelieve? Why should you disbelieve? وَأَنْتُمْ تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتُ اللَّهِ? While to you are being recited the verses of Allah. وَفِيكُمْ رَسُولُهُ? And among you is His Messenger. كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ? كَيْفَ, as you know, means it is for istifham, it is for interrogation, it is for asking how. And over here in particular, it is for the purpose of tawbih. What does tawbih mean? Reproach. So it is for the purpose of reproach as well as out of amazement. That it's amazing. How could you ever disbelieve? It's not possible. Why should you? It's strange. كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ? Why should you disbelieve? How can you disbelieve? How can you return to the practices of jahiliyyah? How can you leave Islam and go towards kufr? وَأَنْتُمْ while you all tutla عَلَيْكُمْ it is recited upon you. Tutla is from tilawa. And what does tilawa mean? Recitation. So tutla عَلَيْكُمْ it is recited upon you. What is recited upon you? Ayatullah. Verses of Allah. Which verses of Allah? The ayat of the Qur'an. So the Qur'an is being recited to you. By who? At the time of the revelation of this ayah in particular, by the Prophet ﷺ. And remember the context in which these ayat were revealed. that how can you go back to the practices of Jahiliyyah? How can you go fight one another, try to kill one another? How? When the Prophet ﷺ is among you and he is reciting the Qur'an to you. The Prophet ﷺ used to recite Qur'an to the Sahaba. When? How? First of all, during the Salah. He would recite Qur'an to the Sahaba when? During the Salah. Every single day, 5 times a day. Obviously in the Jahri Salah, he would recite it out loud. Secondly, also in his gatherings. When the Sahaba would come, they would sit with him, they would ask him questions, they would learn from him. The Prophet ﷺ would also recite the Qur'an to them. Similarly, in the Jumu'ah khutbah, we learned that the Prophet ﷺ, he would recite Surah Qaf every Jumu'ah khutbah. And we learned that one of the Sahabiyat, she actually memorized Surah Qaf, how? By only listening to the Prophet ﷺ every Jumu'ah. That's how she memorized. So this shows that you don't necessarily have to read. You can also memorize by listening. And that's one of the easiest ways of memorization. Similarly, the Prophet ﷺ recited the Qur'an to the Sahaba on other occasions. So, وَأَنْتُمْ تُطْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتُ اللَّهِ. The Qur'an is being recited to you by the Prophet ﷺ. وَفِيكُمْ رَسُولُهُ. And the Messenger is actually among you. How can you disbelieve? Why should you disbelieve? What reason do you have to disbelieve? There are two things that strengthen the iman of a person. And what is that? The Qur'an and the Sunnah. Studying the Qur'an and studying the Sunnah. Living by the Sunnah. And especially at the time of the Sahaba, the Prophet recited the Qur'an to them, and the Prophet ﷺ lived amongst them. وَفِيكُمْ رَسُولُهُ. Among you. He is still alive amongst you. The Prophet ﷺ used to teach the people in the masjid. وَفِيكُمْ رَسُولُهُ. When someone was sick, he would go and visit that person. When someone passed away, he would lead the janazah. If there was a time of happiness, if there was a time of grief, the Prophet ﷺ would also be with the people. The Prophet ﷺ was a leader who didn't stay away from the people. He stayed within the people. When the Sahaba were digging the trench, the Prophet ﷺ was with them. When they were constructing the masjid, the Prophet ﷺ was with them. When they would travel, he would be with them. 5 times a day, minimum, he would meet them in the masjid for the salah. So, وَفِيكُمْ رَسُولُهُ. The messenger is still among you. Then how can you disbelieve? Now imagine, when you listen to the Qur'an, when somebody is reciting Qur'an very beautifully, what happens? You're attracted towards it. It affects you, isn't it? Your heart melts. You want to keep listening to it. You're reminded of so many things. But imagine the Prophet is reciting the Qur'an. Just imagine. And you listen to his recitation so many times, even in one day, so many times. Then how can you go to kufr? How can you leave Islam and go towards kufr? And the Prophet ﷺ is among you. So this shows that two things are needed in order to be firm upon iman. What? The Qur'an and the Sunnah. وَفِيكُمْ رَسُولُ. The Sunnah. And وَفِيكُمْ رَسُولُ also indicates that you are in righteous company, in good company. So this also shows that righteous company, good company, the people of the Qur'an, they are also a means of strengthening iman. They are also a means of protection of our iman. So over here the Sahaba are being reprimanded that why are you disbelieving? How can you disbelieve? You have no reason to disbelieve. Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. The Quraysh basically, they said a lot of poetry against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hassan bin Thabit, he said poetry in return in order to respond to them. When he was answering the Quraysh, and he said, وَفِينَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَتْلُو كِتَابَهُ. And we have the Messenger of Allah who recites the Qur'an to us, who recites the Book of Allah to us. What do you have? Who do you have reciting the words of Allah to you? Nobody. So when you have the Prophet ﷺ as your leader, how can you disbelieve? وَمَنْ يَعْتَصِمْ بِاللَّهِ. And whoever holds fast to Allah. يَعْتَصِمْ from عَيْن صَاد مِيم. عَصْم. عِصْمَ. عَصْم. عَصَمَ literally means مَنْعُ. Mim, noon, ayn, manu. which is to restrain, to protect. And asama is to save or to protect something from shar, from evil. What does it mean? To protect something from evil. And i'tisam, which is the word that is used over here, ya'tasimu, is from i'tisam. I'tisam is to hold on firmly to something. Why? In order to save oneself from shar. So just imagine a person is falling from somewhere. What is he going to hold on to? Like a rope or the ledge of a window or something or the other he's going to hold on to. How is he going to hold on to it? Very firmly. Right? So whoever holds on firmly, billahi, with Allah. Whoever holds fast to Allah, فَقَدْ هُدِيَ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, then in fact he is guided to the way that is correct, to the way that is right. What does it mean by holding on to Allah, holding fast to Allah? يَعْتَصِمْ بِاللَّهِ. What it means by that is holding fast to the deen of Allah, sticking to the deen of Allah, not leaving the deen of Allah, adhering to it firmly. And also يَعْتَصِمْ بِاللَّهِ means holding on to the Qur'an, the deen of Allah as taught by the Prophet ﷺ. Also holding on to the Qur'an, because the Qur'an is our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The deen is the way of life that Allah has legislated. So when a person is upon it, then he has a connection with Allah. Then he has the support of Allah. So whoever holds on to Allah, whoever trusts Him, whoever relies upon Him, whoever worships only Allah, whoever holds on to the Qur'an, reminds himself from the Qur'an, listens to the Qur'an, reads the Qur'an, studies the Qur'an, فَقَدْ هُدِيَ إِلَى صُرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, then such a person is guided to the right way. Notice, it hasn't been said over here that whoever holds on to some sheikh, or to some place, or to some person, then he is going to be guided to the right way. No. What is the way of being guided? Holding on to Allah. How does a person do that? By holding on to the deen of Allah. By holding on to the kalam of Allah. And what does it mean by holding on to it? That you realize that if you leave it, you're going to fall into shar. Because i'tisam is to hold on to something in order to stay away from shar. It's like you're falling, and if you let go of the rope, you're going to fall. You're going to die. If a person is in the middle of the ocean, he's in the water, and if he's holding on to the rope, which is attached to the boat, he's going to be saved. And if he lets go of that rope, what's going to happen? He's going to fall into shar. He's going to fall into danger. So, a person realizes that this Qur'an is my way of life. This Qur'an is going to take me to that which is correct. This Qur'an is going to save me. This deen of Allah is the way to live. So whoever holds on to Allah, then in fact he is guided to the right way, not the one who leaves the Quran. Why is this mentioned over here? Because at that moment, what happened? The Sahaba, they forgot the Quran, right? They forgot the teachings of the Quran. They forgot the deen, which is why they ended up fighting one another, or intending to fight one another. So over here, don't just have a dead connection with the Qur'an. No, يَعْتَصِمْ, consciously hold on to it. Consciously, firmly hold on to it. Don't let go of it even for a moment. If you're in the middle of the sea, if you're in the middle of the ocean, the example that I gave you, and if you say, let me just leave it for a few minutes, what's going to happen? One wave and you're gone. If you're hanging down and you say, let me just leave this rope for a minute, my hands are very tired, let me take a break, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? You're going to fall into destruction. You're going to kill yourself. You're going to harm yourself. And this is the way that we have to stay attached to the Qur'an. Right now, alhamdulillah, you're studying the Qur'an every day. But many times what happens? People finish the course and that's the end of their connection with the Qur'an. That's the end of their connection with the Qur'an. The other day I was telling some people that, yes, you should be concerned about, you know, your memorization of the translation, your attendance, your understanding of the text, all of this is very important, but that should not be the only focus. Your main focus right now is to understand the Quran. That you should understand the Quran, you should develop an attachment with the Quran so that it's a companion for you for the rest of your life in your grave in the hereafter. Because if right now you get 100% in your tests, and the moment you finish this course and you don't open the Quran again, yes, you have the diploma which says you have very good marks, but if the Quran doesn't guide you for the rest of your life, what good is a certificate? What good is that memorization of the lesson? It's not going to help you. The main objective of studying the Quran is so that it helps you, it guides you throughout your life, not just so that you get 100%. That's not the goal, or that's not the only goal. That is important, but that's not the only goal. So وَمَنْ يَعْتَصِمْ بِاللَّهِ, constantly he holds on to Allah. How? Through the Quran. Then such a person is guided to the right way. And if a person leaves it even for a moment, for a few days, for a month, that's it. He's falling downwards. He's going backwards. He's going back towards the ways of Jahiliyyah. And you will see this. You will experience this even yourself. The moment you leave the Quran, you realize you're losing khushu in your salah. You're forgetting the adhkar. You're forgetting the major, major concepts. You forget to do sabr. You forget to do shukr. And then when you read the Quran, you're reminded. فَقَدْ هُدِيَ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Recitation?
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تُطِيعُوا فَرِيقًا مِّنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ يَرُدُّوكُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ كَافِرِينَ وَكَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ وَأَنْتُمْ تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتُ اللَّهِ وَفِيكُمْ رَسُولُهُ وَمَنْ يَعْتَصِمْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ هُدِيَ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ.
So we learned in the ayah that two things strengthen your iman. Two things protect your iman. What is it? The Quran, the Sunnah, and from wafikum wasulu, we also understand righteous company. So we can say three things are a means of protection of iman. If you look at the iman of the Sahaba, why was it so strong? Because they had a very close connection with the Quran. They observed the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They obeyed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for us, why is our iman weak? We don't have a connection with the Quran. We don't recite the Quran. If we recite it, we don't know its meaning. If we learn its meaning, if we know what it means, we don't apply it. So obviously, there's going to be an effect on the level of iman. The Sahaba had a strong iman. When we learn about Muslim heroes, we're like, SubhanAllah, they were amazing. And that's true, they were amazing. But what was it that made their iman so strong? It was the Quran, the Sunnah, and righteous company. And if we wish to protect our iman, we have to hold on to these three things as well. Because there are too many things out there trying to stop you from your connection with Allah. Trying to stop you, trying to take you away from your Islam. Because we learned in the previous verses that the Ahlul Kitab, they're being reprimanded that why do you stop people from the way of Allah? Oh believers, if you listen to them, that's it. You're going to go back to kufr. So when you know that your Islam is at risk, when you know that your Islam is at danger, what should you do? Worry about strengthening your iman. Worry about the strong connection with Allah. How will you do that? The Quran, the Sunnah, and righteous company. And the moment you leave it, you're putting your Islam at risk. Sometimes people stop us from our deen indirectly. How? Through their comments. Through their suggestions, that you get discouraged. Are you sure you want to keep your hijab on? Don't you think it's going to stop you? Don't you think it's going to make your life difficult for you? Like when I started wearing the niqab, one of my teachers at school, he asked me that, don't you think it makes communication difficult? And you wonder, especially when you've just started it and when you're very young, you wonder, maybe it does, right? But the fact is that just the other day somebody was asking me, how do you smile at someone with your niqab? Like you have to say your smile. You have to say something to make the other person realize you're smiling. So there are better ways of communication as well. But when people say such things, when they pass such comments, when they question you, when they put these doubts in your heart, you really wonder. You become double-minded. So this is why Allah is saying, don't listen to these people. if you listen to them, you're going to end up away from your Islam. You're going to end up leaving your Islam. And sometimes it's not just non-Muslims, it's even our Muslims. And we see that the level of Iman, it changes, right? But the stronger your connection is with the Quran, the stronger your Iman is going to be. And the weaker your connection is with the Quran, the weaker your Iman is going to be. One of the du'as of the Prophet ﷺ was, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hawri ba'd al-kawr. Kawr is to wrap the turban. And it's used for fixing something. When something has been fixed, when something has been put right. So when my Iman, when my faith, when my circumstances have been put right, I seek your refuge from al-hawr. And hawr is to unwrap it, undo it. So when things have been put right, when my Iman has been fixed, I seek your refuge from losing my grip, from losing myself, from losing my Iman. That everything has been put together, everything has been fixed, and then I lose it. Sometimes one moment of neglect can have great consequences. So never think that if you leave the Quran for one day, forget it, I won't read it today. I read it every day anyway. I won't go to school for just 1 week, it's okay. Many times when people become Muslim, what do they see within Muslims? People who are not praying, people who are delaying their salah, people who don't read the Quran, people who cannot read the Quran. And what do they think? What do they think? Huh? That maybe praying is not important, maybe reading the Quran is not important. Because it's only one person or two people who are telling them you should do this. Or they read that only in books. But in real life they see that Muslims are not practicing it. So the practice of Muslims, what does it do? It turns other people away from Islam. Or it does not allow them to practice Islam correctly. So remember, صَدْعًا سَبِيلَ, it can be directly and it can also be indirectly. So we have to watch our actions. What am I doing? Remember, you're always doing da'wah. Always. Your hijab, where you go to school, where you live, everything. Because of that, you're doing silent da'wah. People are watching you. And whatever you do, they think that is Islam. Next ayah, that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Fear Allah as His right is to be feared, and don't die except in the state of Islam. If we say that Iman fluctuates all the time, and if you take a break, that okay, it's okay, doesn't matter if my Iman is that high, how do you know? What if your death comes to you in that situation? We should always be concerned about improving our Iman, strengthening our Iman, and that is done with the connection with the Quran. So we cannot leave it even for a day. Let's listen to the recitation of these verses.
كل الطعام كان حلا لبني إسرائيل إلا ما حرم إسرائيل على نفسه إلا ما حرم إسرائيل على نفسه من قبل أن تنزل التوراة قل فأتوا بالتوراة فاتلوها إن كنتم صادقين فمن افترى على الله الكذب من بعد ذلك فأولئك هم الظالمون قل صدق الله فاتبعوا ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وما كان من المشركين إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين فيه آيات بينات مقام إبراهيم ومن دخله كان آمنا ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين قل يا أهل الكتاب لم تكفرون بآيات الله والله شهيد على ما تعملون قل يا أهل الكتاب لم تصدون عن سبيل الله من آمن لم تصدون عن سبيل الله من آمن تبغونها عوجا وأنتم شهداء وما الله بغافل عما تعملون يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تطيعوا فريقا من الذين أوتوا الكتاب يردوكم بعد إيمانكم كافرين وكيف تكفرون وأنتم تتلى عليكم آيات الله وفيكم رسوله ومن يعتصم بالله فقد هدي إلى صراط مستقيم